من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. واللعنة الدائمة الباقي لأعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. We are beginning with the ayat from Surah Tawbah, ayat number 33, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the coming of the Prophet of Islam, but links it with the prevalence that he's going to give to Islam during the end of the time through Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala faraj al-sharif. Our theme has been to talking about Imam Mahdi and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We're talking about Karbala and the zuhur and appearance of the awaited savior. We are looking at the connections and the similarities between the two. But as I said in the last two majalis, I would like to begin with a hadith talking about the importance of the institution of Azadari. This is a means which has been provided by Karbala for us to, in a way, reconnect with our faith, to learn more about our faith, and to re-energize ourselves spiritually and reform ourselves. The hadith that I have today is actually from Muhammad bin Muslim, a very prominent Sahabi, companion of the 5th and the 6th Imam, and he actually narrates this. He said, I heard from both of them, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, where they were talking about some of the special honors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Hussein ibn Ali. They say, Inna Allah ta'ala awwadha li Hussein alayhi salam min qatlihi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a compensation for his martyrdom, has given him four things. Number one, an ja'ala al-imama fi zurriyatihi, that the imamat will continue among his descendants. That is the first thing. And we see that even the Mahdi will come from the children of Fatima through Hussein ibn Ali. And he will be the ninth Imam in that line of Hussein ibn Ali. The second honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Hussein because of his shahadat was shafa fi turbatihi, that Allah has given the healing power to the earth of the grave of Hussein ibn Ali. When we talk about the turbat of Karbala, especially when we talk about the turbat of the grave of Hussein ibn Ali, it has that healing power given to it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, Imam says, ijabatu du'a inda qabrihi, that your du'a by the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is specially referring to actually the area which presently we can say, you know, which is under the Qubba, under the dome of the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, around the Zari of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And the fourth, honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Imam Hussein is وَلَا تُعَدُّ أَيَّامَ ذَائِرِهِ جَائِيًا وَرَاجِعًا مِّنْ عُمْرِهِ, that when a zair goes for the ziyarat of Karbala, from the day he leaves his home till the time he returns back, That duration, those days will not be counted from the lifespan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for that person. And so these are the four, you know, honors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Hussein ibn Ali, which is unique to him. Salawat parne ikbara. Tonight I would like to talk about the family ties between Hussein ibn Ali and Al-Mahdi. How are they linked to one another? When we talk about this relationship, let me go back to the words of Hussein ibn Ali when he was called by Walid, the governor of Medina, and confronted with the note of Yazid, which said that he must pledge allegiance and there is no excuse in rejecting that. And this is where we see that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, eventually when he expressed his opinion of rejecting the demand for bayat, the words that he used, the last sentence there actually is also connected to Al-Mahdi. Because the way he introduced himself, he said, "Inna ahlu baytin nubuwa wa ma'dan al-risala wa mukhtalaf al-malaika wa mahbatur rahma." This is where he says that I belong to the family of prophethood. My house is the source of the messengership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My house is the place where the malaika would descend and ascend from there. And my house and family is the place where the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come, especially in form of Rasulullah being rahmatun lil alameen. Then he says at the end, bina fatahallah wa bina khatam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began Islam with us. Rasulullah is the one who brought the final message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa bina khatam. And Islam will come to its completion at the end with us. When he says with us, he is actually referring to Al-Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala faraju sharif. Salawat barnaik bara. So let us look at this concept of, you know, Al-Mahdi and the connection to Ahlul Bayt and especially Hussein ibn Ali. You know, when it comes to this concept of Al-Mahdi, in the sense of somebody, a savior who will come before the end of time to establish the kingdom of God on this earth, this belief in a messianic figure is unanimous among all the Muslims. From the Wahhabis on one extreme to the Shias on the other extreme and the Sunnis and the Sufis and all other groups in between. All of them in totality believe that somebody by the name of Al-Mahdi will make his appearance before the end of time. Let me just give you two, three quotations here. Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah is a Sunni scholar, a Syrian of the 7th century of the Islamic era, and his ideas actually became the basis of the group which emerged later on known as Wahhabism. So Wahhabism, actually they look back to Ibn Taymiyyah for their ideas and their beliefs and their thoughts. In one of the books of Ibn Taymiyyah known as Minhaj al-Sunnah, he actually talks about the concept of Mahdi. And what he says is very interesting. He says, Ahadith al-Mahdi ma'rufa. The ahadith about Mahdi are very well known. Rawah al-Imam Ahmad wa Abu Dawood wa Tirmidhi wa ghayruhum. You know, Ahmad bin Hanbal, Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and many others have quoted it. Ka hadith Abdullah bin Mas'ud anil Nabi. For example, he says, the hadith quoted by Abdullah bin Mas'ud, a famous companion of Rasulullah, quoting the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet said, لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَى مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا يَوْمٌ لَطَوَّلَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ حَتَّى يَبْعَثُ فِيهِ رَجُلًا مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. The Prophet says that even if only one day is left in the life of this world, Allah will prolong that day until he brings up, raises in this dunya a man from my family. Yuwati ismuhu ismi. His name will be same as my name, Muhammad. Wa ismu abihi ismu abi. And his father's name would be same. When we look at the name of Abdullah, one of the titles of the 11th Imam, يَمْلَعُ الْعَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا. He will fill the earth, this world, with fairness and justice, كَمَا مُلِعَ الظُّلْمًا وَجَوْرًا, just as it would have been filled before it with tyranny and injustice. And so this concept of a person from the Ahlul Bayt is going to come, carrying my name, and his father's name also will be like my father's name. These are the words of Rasulullah, accepted by even Ibn Taymiyyah, the ideologue of the Wahhabis. During our own time, this is Ibn Taymiyyah was, you know, 7 centuries ago. During our own time, in 1976, somebody from Africa sent a letter to Rabitatul Alam al-Islami. This is the official propaganda organization of the Wahhabis with its headquarters in Mecca. And so in 1976, somebody wrote a letter about this belief in Mahdi. Is this part of Islam or not? And the answer that they wrote, was, which came from their mufti, is very interesting. And it says, نص الحفاظ والمحدثون على أن أحاديث مهدي فيها الصحيح والحسن ومجموعها متواتر مقطوع بتواتره وصحته. They say that the Hufaz refers to those scholars who have memorized the Ahadith, والمحدثون, and the scholars of Hadith. The Hufaz and the Muhaddiseen have written down the Ahadith of Mahdi, and in that collection, the pool of the Mahdi, the Ahadith about Mahdi, they are those which are Sahih, authentic, Hasan, good from the point of view of the chain of narrators, wa majmuha mutawatir. All of them collectively are mutawatir. Mutawatir is the highest quality of the Hadith, which cannot be denied. And then they write, وَعَنَّ الْاِعْتِقَادِ بِخُرُوجِ الْمَهْدِ وَاجِبٌ. And the belief in coming of the Mahdi is wajib. Every Muslim must have that belief. وَعَنَّهُ مِنْ أَخَائِدِ أَهْلِ السُنَّ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. And this is from the beliefs of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Sunni groups. لا ينكره إلا جاهل بالسنة ومبتدع في العقيدة. And nobody rejects this idea of Mahdi except somebody who is ignorant of the Sunnah of the Prophet, or he is an innovator in the belief system of Islam. Then we go on to the third quotation that I would like to present to you. There was a scholar among the Sunnis by the name of Sheikh Nasiruddin Albani, very prominent scholar of Hadith of this century. Actually, he was known as Bukhari al-Asr, means he is the Bukhari of the present time. The Sunnis, you know, accord him that title because of his expertise in Hadith. He has many, many books criticizing Hadith, whether they are authentic or not. And in one of his, writings, basically, when in the article about Mahdi, he says, وَأَمَّا مَسْأَلَةُ الْمَهْدِي فَلْيَعْلَمْ أَنَّ فِي خُرُوجِهِ أَحَادِيثٌ كَثِيرَةٌ صَحِيحَةٌ قِسْمٌ كَبِيرٌ مِنْهَا لَهُ أَسَانِيدٌ صَحِيحَةٌ. He says, as far as this issue of belief in Al-Mahdi, you should know that many, many authentic and sahih hadiths have come about it, and many of them have very good asanid, the chain of narrators. So there can be no doubt about these ahadiths. And then at the end of that article, he concludes by saying, خُلَاسَةُ الْقَوْلِ, and the summary, إن عقيدة خروج المهدي عقيدة ثابتة متواترة عنه صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. He says that the belief in coming of the Mahdi is an established and unanimous aqidah which has come from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. يجب الإيمان بها. It is wajib to believe in this coming of the Mahdi towards the end of this world. لأنها من أمور الغيب. It is wajib to believe in it because these are the matters of غيب and unseen. والإيمان بها من صفات المتقين. To believe in this غيب of Al-Mahdi is actually from the qualities of the righteous people, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah, right in the beginning, and he quotes the ayat, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika Al-Kitab, La Rayba Fihi, Hudan Lil-Muttaqeen. That, you know, there is no doubt in this book of the book known as the Quran, and this is a guidance for the righteous people. Who are the righteous people? The first quality of them is Alladhina Yu'minuna Bil-Ghayb. They believe in the unseen. And so it's very interesting to see that, you know, Sheikh Nasiruddin al-Albani is connecting this aqidah of Mahdi to the Umur al-Ghayb. And we as Shias, we believe he is in Ghaybat. And this is where we get, you know, this reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own ways of, you know, making sure that the truth is prevailed all the time. Sheikh Albani ends by these words, وَإِنَّ إِنْكَارَهَا لَا يُصْدَرُ إِلَّا مِنْ جَاهِلٍ أَوْ مُكَابِرٍ. That rejection of this belief in Mahdi cannot come from anyone unless he is ignorant or he's being stubborn, doesn't want to accept the reality. صلوات پڑھنے ایک بار اور You know, when you study the works of the Western scholars about the concept of Mahdi, you know, it's really amazing to see that they spend their energy in trying to find the origin of this idea of Al-Mahdi. Is it Islamic? Is it pre-Islamic? Has it been taken from the Christians or other faiths? And they have to realize that, you know, the unanimity of the Muslims, that all the Muslims from the Wahhabis and the Sunnis and the Sufis and the Shi'is, all of them, you know, are unanimous in this concept of Mahdi. And this unanimity itself is a strong indication that this belief comes from the early days of Islam and from within the Islamic sources. You know, my late father, Rahmatullah alayhi, used to say that, you know, those people who doubt this concept of Mahdi, they have to realize that existence of imitation is actually a proof that there is an origin somewhere. He says, if you look at the Parker pen or the Rado watch, you will be able to buy an imitation of the Parker pen or a Rado watch at a much cheaper price compared to the genuine Parker pen or a genuine Rado watch. But he says that the emergence of an imitation shows that there is an origin that they tried to copy. And so then he used that example. He says, you know, emergence of pretender Mahdis. Because we know every century there are some people who come up and say, I am the Mahdi of Akhir Zaman. He says, these pretenders who come, this itself shows that there is a real and genuine Mahdi who will eventually make his appearance. Salawat pardane ek baar aur. So we see that this idea of Mahdi itself, you know, this is unanimous among all the Muslims. Now let us see this idea that who is this Mahdi? You know, is he from Hussein or not? Ibn Taymiyyah, for example, quoted the Prophet where the Prophet says that, you know, the Mahdi would be from min ahli bayti, from my ahlul bayt. But did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further identify him more precisely to say who will he be? Well, I'll just give you one or two quotations today. From a Sunni source, Ad-Darqutni, as quoted by Sheikh Lutfullah Safi in his book. And this is a narration from Abu Harun al-Abdi, where he says that one day I went to visit Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri is a very prominent companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shias and the Sunnis both respect him highly. And so Abu Harun one day went to Abu Sa'id al-Khudri when he was old, and he told him, were you present in the Battle of Badr? He just wanted to see whether he was there from the early days of the Prophet's life. And he said, yes. Then he said, أَلَا تُحَدِّثْنِي بِشَيْءٍ مِمَّا سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ فِي عَلِيٍّ وَفَضْلِهِ. Is it possible for you to narrate to us something that you would have heard from Rasulullah about Ali and the excellence of Ali and the fazilat of Ali? It's an interesting narration. And Abu Sa'id Khudri said, yes, bala, ukhabbiruka. Yes, I will tell you about it. And then he says, then he narrates one incident where he says that once a prophet was, the prophet was not feeling well. Of course, he recovered from it. And he said, at that time, those days, Fatimah Zahra, his daughter, came to visit him. And I was sitting on the right side of Rasulullah at that time. When Fatima came into the room and she looked at her father, and she realized that the father was weak at the time coming out of that illness, and so she became sad and there were tears in her eyes and she started to cry. When the Prophet saw the tears flowing from the eyes of Fatima, he asked her, Ma yubkika ya Fatima? What makes you cry, Fatima? And then in order to console her and make her happy, the Prophet says, أَمَا عَلِمْتِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى اِطَّلَعَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ اِطَّلَاعَةً فَاخْتَارَ مِنْهَا أَبِيكِ فَبَعَثَهُ نَبِيًّا. Do not you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the whole world when he was looking for selection, and then he selected your father and raised him as a prophet. ثُمَّ اتَّلَعَ ثَانِيَةً فَاخْتَارَ بَعْلِكَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the world second time for a selection, and then he selected your husband. فَأَوْحَى إِلَيَّ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to me, so that I can get you married to him. وَاتَّخَسْتُهُ وَصِيًّا. And I took him as my wasiyan successor. أَمَا عَلِمْتِ أَنِّكِ بِكَرَامَةِ اللَّهِ إِيَّاكِ زَوَّجِكِ أَعْلَمُهُمْ عِلْمًا وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ حِلْمًا وَأَقْدَمُهُمْ سِلْمًا. Do not you know, because of the special respect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to grant to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you marry somebody who is the most learned as far as the knowledge is concerned, and he is the most forbearing, and he is the one who is the first one among the pioneers as far as submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Sa'id Khudri says that, Fatima smiled and became delightful, and this was what the father wanted to see. He wanted her to come out of that sadness, and this is where he talked about the fadilat of himself and Ali, salawat parne ek par aur. Then Abu Sa'id Khudri says that Rasulullah then wanted to add even some more joy and happiness to Fatima Zahra. And this is where he says, Ya Fatima, وَلِعَلِيٍّ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَضْرَاسٍ يَنِي مَنَاقِبٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, 8 qualities to Ali ibn Abi Talib, which are not combined in anyone together. The first one, Iman billah wa rasulihi. That he has this belief in Allah and the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa hikmatihi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the wisdom from him. And then he gave him a wife like you. That is also one of the qualities. وَسِبْتَاهُ الْحَسَنَ وَالْحُسَيْنَ. And he gave basically the grandchildren of mine, the grandchildren of the Ummah, are from him, Hassan and Hussein. وَعَمْرُهُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And his ability to promote the good. وَنَهِيهُ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And his ability to prevent people from evil. يَا فَاطِمَةَ إِنَّا أَهْلَ بَيْتٍ أُعْتِينَا سِتَّةٍ خصال لم يعت عهد من الأولين ولا يدركه عهد من الآخرين غيرنا أهل البيت. And then further Rasulullah said to Fatima, O Fatima, we are the Ahl al-Bayt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us six things, six qualities which have not been given to anyone before, and nobody will get it later on other than the Ahl al-Bayt. And what are those six special qualities which come together in the Ahlul Bayt? The first one, the Prophet says, نَبِيُّنَا خَيْرُ الْأَنْبِيَا وَهُوَ أَبُوكَ. Our Prophet is the best of the Prophets, and that is your father, referring to himself. Then he says, وَوَصِيُّنَا خَيْرُ الْأَوْصِيَا وَهُوَ بَعْلِكِ. And the best of these wasi, the successors of the Prophet, is your husband. وَشَهِيدُنَا خَيْرُ الشُّهَدَى. And our shaheed is the best of the shuhada, the martyrs. وَهُوَ حَمْزَ عَمَّ عَبِيكِ. And he is Hamza, the uncle of your father. وَمِنَّا سِبْتَ حَاضِهِ الْأُمَّةِ وَهُمَا إِبْنَاكِ. And from us are the best of the grandsons of this ummah, and they are your sons. And the final, he says, وَمِنَّا مَهْدِي هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. And from us is the Mahdi of this ummah. الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عِيسَى خَلْفَهُ. Our Mahdi is the one behind whom Isa ibn Maryam will do the salat. Mahdi will be the imam, and Isa ibn Maryam will be the ma'moom. And then the Prophet, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, says, "Zaraba ala minka bil Hussein." Then the Prophet, put his hand on the shoulder of Hussein at that time, and he says, "Min hadha mahdiyul ummah." The Mahdi of our ummah would be from him, referring to Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wa salam. Salawat upon him. So we see there are indications in the narrations of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah also that the Mahdi will not only be from the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet, from the children of Fatima, he will be from the descendants of Hussein ibn Ali. So this is the family link between al-Hussein on one hand and al-Mahdi on the other hand. Let us now move forward and add another question to this issue of Al-Mahdi, that is he already born or will he be born at the towards the end of the time? Because sometimes we hear this concept among the Sunnis that, well, we believe in the Mahdi, but he will be born before the end of the time. As far as the Shia scholars are concerned, there is total unanimity about the birth of the 12th Imam on the 15th of Sha'ban on the year 255th of the Hijrah. And this has been their unanimity among the Shia theologians from day one. From the days of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam to the present time. For example, I'll just give you one example of a narrator of those days before Ghaybat Sughra, Fadl bin Shawwan. Fadl bin Shawwan died after the year 255, which is the birth year of the 12th Imam. But he died before the wafat of the 11th Imam. So he actually lived and died during the 11 Imam's time. So he is the one who believes in Mahdi, that he was born in the year 255. His narrations, and there is actually a risala by him. Then you have Sheikh Saduq, then you have Kulaini, then you have Sheikh Mufid, then Sheikh Tusi, then Karajaki, then Shaheed Awwal, then we come to Sheikh Baha'i, then you come to Tabrasi and Ibn Taus, and then you come all the way to the present time. All the Shia ulama are unanimous in believing that Al-Mahdi was born in the year 255 on the 15th of the Sha'ban. I will just quote you one hadith on this issue from the Shia sources, where Zayd bin Thabit says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that Ali bin Abi Talib قائد البررة قاتل الفجر منصور من نصر ومخذول من خذل, that Ali ibn Abi Talib is the leader of the righteous people. He is the one who will kill the sinful ones. Mansurun man nasara, Allah will help whoever helps Ali. Makhzulun man khadala, Allah will abandon whoever abandons Ali. Ash-shakku fi Aliyyin huwa ash-shakku fil Islam, whoever doubts in the vilayat and status of Ali actually has doubted Islam itself. Wa khayru man akhlafa ba'di, and he is the best one who will succeed me. Wa khayru ashabi Ali, the best of my companions is Ali. Lahmuhu lahmi, his flesh is my flesh. Damuhu dami, his blood is my blood. Wa abu sibtiyya, he is the father of my two grandsons. Wa min sulb al Husayn yakhrujul a'immatu tis'a, and from the descendants of Hussein, nine imams will come. Wa minhum mahdiyyu hadhihi al-umma, and the ninth one from the descendants of Hussein will be the Mahdi of this ummah. Salawat par nek bar. What is amazing that even among the Sunni scholars and historians, you will see that there are many who recorded the birth of our 12th Imam as being on the 15th of the Sha'ban, year 255 of the Hijrah. Ayatollah Sheikh Lutfullah Safi, in his very important book on this topic of Mahdi, known as Muntakhab al-Athar, he has surveyed the books of Sunni scholars and gives a pretty impressive list of more than 50 Sunni scholars who have confirmed that the 12th Imam was born on the 15th of Sha'ban, year 255. For example, Ibn Hajar al-Makki, a prominent Sunni scholar, he has a book known as Al-Sawaiq al-Muhriqa. There, he has written it against the Shias, but the first part of it, he talks about the fadail of Ahlul Bayt. And there, when he talks about Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, that when it comes to among his, he didn't وَلَمْ يَخْلُفْ غَيْرُ وَلَدِهِ, and he didn't leave behind anyone but his son. And who is his son? Abul Qasim Muhammad al-Hujjah. Look at the titles he is using. وَعَمْرُهُ عِنْدَ وَفَاتِ أَبِيهِ خَمْسَ سِنِينَ, and the age of this son of 11th Imam, when the Imam, 11th Imam passed away, the son's age was 5. وَلَكِنْ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ الْحِكْمَةِ, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted wisdom to that child of 5 years old. Another Sunni scholar by the name of Sibt ibn al-Jawzi, in a book known as Tazkiratul Khawas, when he talks about Imam Hassan alayhi salam, he says, you know, from his children, there is only one, wahuwa Muhammad, and then he gives the entire genealogy. He says, wa Muhammad bin Hassan bin Ali bin Muhammad bin Ali bin Musa al-Ridha bin Ja'far bin Muhammad bin Ali bin Ali ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn bin Ali bin Abi Talib, And then he says his title would be Abu Abdullah Abu al-Qasim wa huwa al-khalaf al-hujja sahib al-zaman. And he is the successor of the 11th Imam, and he is the hujja, the sign of Allah and the argument of Allah among us, sahib al-zaman. He is the master of the time, al-qa'im. He is the one who will establish the divine government, wal-muntazar. He is the one who is awaited, wa huwa akhir al-a'imma. And he is the last of the imams. Salawat upon the Barak. My late father, Rahmatullah alayhi, in one of his books known as Itmam al-Hujjah, Itmam al-Hujjat in Urdu, he has this discussion in response to an argument with a Wahhabi scholar. He talks about, you know, the proof of al-Mahdi in the Sunni books. And he has one very interesting quotation that I would like to share with you tonight, from a very famous Sunni alim of India who lived two centuries ago. His name was Shah Waliullah Dehlavi, a very prominent name among Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah on a global level, and not only in the Indian subcontinent. He was popularly known as Khatimul Arifin. You know, they believed him to be the last one among those who have the Gnosis and Irfan. Sayyidul Muhaddisin, the master of the scholars of Hadith. Sanadul Mutakallimin, he is the pillar of theology. In a book known as Fasl Mubin, he actually is narrating a Hadithi Qudsi. Hadithi Qudsi are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not part of the Quran. And these are the statements where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that qala Allah azza wa jalla, Allah said so and so. And when you look at that, that is not in the Quran. So there's a difference between the revelation which came to the Prophet in form of the Quran and the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are not part of the Quran. And those are known as Hadith Qudsi. And one of their hadith is very famous. We know it from our 8th Imam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am Allah, there is no God beside me, and whoever believes in my tawheed, dakhala hisni, he enters into my castle, and whoever enters into my castle, he will be protected from my punishment. Now, Shah Waliullah Dehlavi wanted to quote this hadith Qudsi. He is a muhaddith, and he is quoting it through the muhaddisin, the scholars of hadith that he has the certificate from them. And he is referring to the one of the scholars of those days who actually gave him what we call ijazah rivayat, which means these are the certificate that you are authorized to narrate a hadith through my chains. And so then he can narrate from his master and the master's masters, and the chain goes all the way to Rasulullah. Now in this hadith, if you look at the sanad that he has for Hadith Qudsi, it's very interesting. He says that, you know, my master says that he heard from Hassan bin Ali al-Ujaymi, who heard from his master Jamaluddin al-Babuli, who heard from his master Muhammad Hijazi, who heard from his master Abdullah Wahhab al-Sha'rawi, and the nine names go on one after another until he comes to the name Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Hashim al-Balavuri, whom he says who was the Hafidh Zamanihi, that he was an expert of memorizing hadith during his time. And then he says that Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Hashim al-Baladuri says that I heard this from Muhammad bin Hassan bin Ali al-Mahjub Imam Asrihi. This name is very interesting. I'll come back to it. He says, and Muhammad bin Hassan bin Ali says that I heard from Hassan bin Ali, who heard from his father Ali, who heard from his grandfather, going all the way to his great-grandfather, Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, who heard from Musa al-Kadhim, who heard from Ja'far al-Sadiq, who heard from Muhammad al-Baqir, who heard from Ali Zain al-Abidin, who heard from Imam Hussein ibn Ali, who heard from his father Ali ibn Abi Talib, who heard from Rasulullah, who heard from Jibreel, who heard from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that I am your Allah, there is no God but me. Whoever believes in my Tawheed, he enters into my castle, and whoever enters into my castle, he will be protected from my Azab. Now it's interesting, if you look at this sanad, you know, this Shah Waliullah Dahlavi goes through his masters of hadith all the way to Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Hashim al-Baladuri. He says, I heard from Muhammad bin Hassan bin Ali. Who is this? The name is very clear when you look at the other names further up, going to Rasulullah. This Muhammad is Muhammad al-Mahdi, bin Hassan al-Askari, bin Ali al-Hadi. And this is where it goes to then Muhammad al-Taqi, then Ali al-Ridha, all the way to Rasulullah. It's important to see that, you know, after these 17 scholars that Shah Waliullah Dahlavi mentions that name in this chain of narration, he comes to our 12th Imam. And the way he describes him is very interesting. He says, Imam Asrihi, that he is the Imam of his time. And then he also describes him at Al-Mahjub. Al-Mahjub means somebody who is in hijab. It means somebody who is in ghaybat, somebody who is in occultation. And this is interesting that, you know, whether the Sunni ulama who write such things in their own books, you know, do they realize the implication of what they are writing? For me, that is immaterial whether they're realizing or not. This actually becomes, for me, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the truth in His own mysterious ways. He makes even the Sunni scholars ending up writing that the 12th Imam is the Imam of the Zaman and he is in hijab or in ghaybat and occultation. Salawat upon the Akbar. Let us now conclude tonight's majlis with a similarity between the Ashab of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and the Ansar of Al-Mahdi. We see in the narration that when Al-Mahdi will make his appearance, the Ansar of Imam Mahdi actually will be from all different parts of the Muslim world. There will be Arab, non-Arab, you know, many, many other ethnicities from Middle East, North Africa, Asia Minor, as well as, you know, Southeast Asia. When you look at the Ashab of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, we also see the mixture of race and tribe and ethnicity. You know, for example, we have Joan, an Abyssinian, a former slave of Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari, who is listed among the Shuhada of Karbala. Lekin aaj ki majlis mein हम एक और तशाबो और सिमिलरिटी की तरफ आना चाहेंगे कि जब इमाम महदी अजलल्लाहु ताला फरज शरीफ का ज़ुहूर होगा तो बहुत से ईसाई जो हैं उस ज़माने में इस्लाम कबूल करेंगे जब वो देखेंगे कि हज़रत ईसा इब्न मरियम इमाम महदी के पीछे नमाज पढ़ रहे हैं और उनके फॉलोअर बन चुके हैं इससे बड़ी और दलील ईसाइयों के लिए नहीं होगी कि भाई इस्लाम जो है दर हकीकत आखिरी और बरहक दीन और मज़हब है और खुदावंद आलम ने इसे गलबा दिया है तमाम अदियान पर लियुज़हिरुहु अला दीन कुल्ले जैसे उस आयत को हमने पढ़ा था सूरह तौबा से तो उस मंज़र को देखने के बाद और जनाब ईसा की पैरवी को देखते हुए कि वो हज़रत महदी की पैरवी कर रहे हैं बहुत से ईसाई जो हैं खुद ब खुद वो मुसलमान हो जाएंगे करबला में भी हमें एक मिसाल मिलती है कि एक ईसाई थे जो इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम से जब मिले मुलाकात हुई तो वो भी मुसलमान हो गए और शहदा में शामिल हुए उनका नाम था वहब अल कल्बी وہ اور ان کی ماں جو ہیں دونوں عیسائی تھے، غالباً بیوی بھی عیسائی رہی ہوں گی، لیکن جب ان لوگوں کی ملاقات ہوئی ہے امام حسین علیہ السلام سے، یہ امام کے کردار سے، ان کی باتوں سے اور حالات کو دیکھتے ہوئے کس طرح سے دشمن جو ہیں ان کو گھیرے ہوئے ہیں، پانی روک رہے ہیں، یہ بھی اسلام قبول کرتے ہیں اور مسلمان ہو جاتے ہیں۔ عاشور کے دن اب دیکھیں یہ نو مسلمان ہیں، نیو کنورٹس ہیں ایک لحاظ سے، لیکن جذبہ آپ دیکھیں، انسان اگر مسلمان ہو تو اس طرح سے ہو۔ ماں کو دیکھیں، ام وہب کو، وہ انکریج کرتی ہیں اپنے بیٹے کو کہ جاؤ حسین پر اپنی جان نثار کرو، اور وہب جاتے ہیں آگے، اور اپنی جنگ میں انہوں نے 19 گھوڑے سوار سپاہیوں کو قتل کیا، پھر نار کیا، اور تقریباً 12 پیادہ جو لشکری تھے یزید کے انہیں قتل کیا، لیکن آخر میں ایک مجاہد کب تک لڑتا؟ جب وہب کلبی کی شہادت واقع ہوتی ہے تو ان کی زوجہ جو ہے دوڑ کے خیمے سے نکل کے آتی ہیں اپنے شوہر کے لاش پر، اور چہرے پر جو خون تھا وہ انہوں نے صاف کرنا شروع کیا۔ شمر ملعون نے جب دیکھا ہے کہ وہب کلبی کی بیوی آئی ہے، اس کے چہرے کو صاف کرنا چاہ رہی ہے، تو اپنے غلام کو حکم دیتا ہے کہ جا کے اس خاتون پر حملہ کرو۔ وہ جو ہے ایک پول لے کے، ایک بہت ہی سخت گرز کی طرح اس کے ہاتھ میں تھا، آ کے جناب وہب کلبی کی زوجہ کو پر حملہ کرتا ہے، یہاں تک کہ اسے قتل کر دیتا ہے۔ عاشور کے دن اگر کوئی خاتون تھی جو شہید ہوئی تھی تو یہی زوجہ ہیں جناب وہب کلبی کی۔ لیکن ہمیں آج ختم کرنا ہے ایک اور مثال سے کہ جہاں ایک خاتون جو ہے کس طرح سے بڑھ کے اپنے بیٹے کو آگے بڑھاتی ہیں کہ جا کے اپنی جان کو نثار کرو حسین پر۔ تاریخ میں اس نوجوان بچے کے باپ کے بارے میں تھوڑا کنفیوژن ہے، یقینی طور پہ نہیں کہا سکتا ہے۔ اب شیخ عباس قمی نفس المحموم میں اظہار خیال کرتے ہیں کہ غالباً یہ مسلم بن اوسجا کا بیٹا تھا، لیکن دوسرے مورخین کا خیال کچھ اور ہے، اس سے کوئی فرق نہیں پڑتا ہے۔ لیکن اس صحابی کی شہادت کے بعد اپنے نوجوان بیٹے سے کہتے ہیں اخرج یا بنیا وقاتل بین ید ابن رسول اللہ، اے بیٹا جاؤ آگے بڑھو اور فرزند رسول کے خدمت میں اپنی جان پیش کرو۔ یہاں پر جب وہ رسول جو حسین ابن علی کے سامنے آتا ہے، اور جب وہ دیکھتا جب آتا ہے امام سے اجازت لینے کے لیے، تو امام جب اس کے سراپا کو دیکھتے ہیں، اس کی کمسنی کو دیکھتے ہیں، جوانی نوجوانی کو دیکھتے ہیں، ایک جملہ کہتے ہیں، پہچان جاتے ہیں کہ ابھی ابھی اس کے بابا کی شہادت ہوئی ہے۔ فرماتے ہیں ھذا شاب قتل ابوه ولعل امه تكره خروجه، کہ یہ نوجوان جو ہیں ابھی ابھی تو اس کے بابا کو قتل کیا گیا ہے، عجب نہیں کہ اس کی ماں نہ چاہتی ہو کہ یہ نکلے بلکہ یہ یادگار باقی رہے اپنے شوہر کی۔ وہ بچہ جو ہے اپنے کمر بند کی طرف اشارہ کرتا ہے، کہتا ہے مولا امی امرتنی بذلک، میری ماں نے مجھے تیار کیا ہے، ماں نے حکم دیا ہے کہ بیٹا جاؤ اپنی جان کو حسین پر نثار کرو۔ یہ نوجوان جاتا ہے، اپنا تعارف عجیب انداز میں کرتا ہے، عربوں میں شعر و شاعری اور رجز کی ایبیلٹی کم بچپنے سے ہوتی تھی۔ وہ بچہ اپنا تعارف کرتا ہے، امیری حسین و نعم الامیری، میرے امیر حسین ہیں اور بہترین امیر ہیں، سرور و فواد البشیر النذیر، میرے مولا جو ہیں بشیر النذیر جو نبی تھے ان کے سرور دل ہیں، علی و فاطمہ والداہ، علی اور فاطمہ ان کے والدین ہیں، فہل تعلمون له من نذیر، کیا تمہارے پاس میرے مولا کی طرح کوئی نذیر ہے یا نہیں۔ پھر وہ حملہ کرنا شروع کرتا ہے, لیکن وہ کمسن اور نوجوان مجاہد کب تک لڑتا؟ عزادار آل حسین جب ماں نے دیکھا اس خیمے کے دروازے پہ کھڑی رہی, اپنے بیٹے کی جہاد کو دیکھتی رہی, آخر میں ایک ملعون نے جب اس بچے کو شہید کیا ہے, وہ آگے بڑھتا ہے اور اس بچے کے سر کو تن سے جدا کرتا ہے اور دیکھتا ہے کہ ماں جو ہے خیمے کے باہر کھڑی اس منظر کو دیکھ رہی ہے. وہ ملعون ماں کو اذیت پہنچانے کے لیے اس سر کو جو ہے اس عورت کی طرف پھینک دیتا ہے. ماں نے اس سر کو اٹھایا, پیشانی کے بوسا لیا اور کہتی ہے, یا سرور قلبی یا قرۃ عینی احسنت یا بنیا, میرے بیٹے حسن تو نے بہت ہی اچھا کام کیا ہے, اور سر کو دوبارہ مقتل کی طرف پھینک دیتی ہے. غالباً انداز تھا کہ ہم نے جو آر خدا کے راہ میں دے دیا ہے اسے ہم واپس کبھی نہیں لیتے ہیں. پھر انہوں نے خیمے کے اس پول کو اٹھایا اور آگے بڑھتی ہے حملہ کرنے کے لیے. امام حسین علیہ السلام نے اپنے اصحاب سے کہا کہ اس شہید کی ماں کو روکو, اور وہ خیمے میں واپس لیا جاتی ہے. بس ایک جملہ کہیں گے کہ آپ وہاں موجود تھی اے جوان کی یہ ماں, کہ حسین نے اپنے اصحاب کو حکم دیا کہ آپ کو حفاظت کے ساتھ خیموں میں لے آئے, لیکن ہائے جب حسین اپنے لاش پہ اپنے ہاتھوں پہ اصغر کے حال لاش کو لیے ہوئے تھے, کوئی وہاں نہیں تھا جو حسین کی خیم پوچھتا اور تسلی دیتا. لعنت اللہ علی القوم الظالمین, سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون. خداوندہ اس قلیل بات قبول فرما, ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے, ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما. خداوندہ شیعان علی جہاں بھی ہیں ان کو اپنے حفظ امان رکھ, خصوصاً ایام اعضاء میں ان کی عزاداری اور عزاداروں کو اپنے حفظ و امان میں رکھ, چاہے وہ امام باڑوں میں کریں یا اپنے گھروں میں مجالس کریں. خداوندہ دشمنان اہل بیت جہاں بھی ہیں ان کی تمام تکفیری افواج کی صلاحیتوں کو مکمل طور پہ نیست و نابود فرما. خداوندہ امام کی ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم. ماتم حسین.